Appreciate the kind of a prayer that was offered. If you would, go with us to the 11th chapter of the Psalms this afternoon. We'd ask that you would pray for us in what amount of time before you this afternoon. It's not our intention to be extremely long-winded or anything like that, and we know that if the Lord should come quickly, it don't take long to preach the gospel. So pray for us in what time but before you. As you turn to Psalms chapter 11, I'll just briefly give this expression. I don't know, it may be some 15 years ago, I don't know if Brother Tim Montgomery remembers this or not, but we shared some time at a meeting in Central Florida, let me say, a head full of hair ago. And I didn't look like I do now, I don't know if he remembered me or not. But I remember that in one of his discourses on that weekend that he preached on the subject of adoption in such a way that it'd been about 15 years and I still remember it today. He didn't know at the time, and I didn't know at the time, that about 2 years from that, when he preached that discourse, our family would go through that. And so that's always been a very special and precious memory to me. The words that the Lord had given him at that time. And sometimes you may hear something in a sermon in a church service, and it may be something that you don't need right then, but it may be something you draw on some years later that gives you comfort. Maybe something you're not going through at the time, but maybe there comes a time where you do need that. And just like those storehouses in the Word of God, we put up in those storehouses in the time we need them, that such wisdom is there. So we're thankful for the good words that have gone forth this morning. And it's not our intention to take a lot of time this afternoon. I want to hear our brother come again, and you pray the Lord to lift him up as well. In the opening verse of this chapter, it's a short chapter in the Word of God. It says, "In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain. For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and in horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, and his countenance doth uphold the upright." He starts off this chapter by saying, "In the Lord put I my trust. How say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain." I want to talk about, and this may be a little strange in the way that this is sort of laid on my mind this evening, but I'd like to take a look this evening. It says, "Flee as a bird to your mountain." I want to look at some of the characteristics of the birds we see in the Word of God, and let that be our guide in how you and I can still today in 2022 flee as a bird to your mountain. It's in somebody else's mountain. It's in Stone Mountain. It's not the Great Smoky Mountains, but it's your mountain. We find in the second chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah that in the latter days, in this day and time, in this gospel dispensation, the Lord shall establish his kingdom in the tops of the mountains. I'll tell you this evening by the authority of the Word of God that if you have been blessed to be born of the Spirit of God, and heaven is your home, and Jesus Christ, the righteous, the spotless Lamb of God, was your sacrifice on Calvary, then, friend of God, you have a mountain in this world, and it would do all of us good, and it would do all of us well to flee to our mountain as early and as often as we can. We find throughout the Word of God that it says, "In the Lord put I my trust." Where is our trust? It's not in the physical mountains of this world. It's not in the it's not in the thoughts and imaginations of men. It's not in the vain securities that man's religion would offer. But it says, in the Lord put I my trust. It really is just that simple. That we're not trusting in some system of religion. That if we check all of the boxes, that some fella somewhere in a robe could tell us that we get to go to heaven. That's not the way this goes. We don't put our trust in the systems of this world, devised of men's minds that change and ebb and flow as the years go on. But it's in the Lord we put our trust. And since we trust in the Lord, flee as a bird to your mountains. Birds are skittish creatures by nature. I don't know if y'all use that word down here or not. Up in the hill country, we call it skittish. They're not comfortable a lot of places. I've never seen a bird fly in the middle of the street and just stand there while I just ride the van right over. It's just never happened. They always fly away. Birds come out and pick for worms in the grass. And if you go outside your front door, if you make some noise, even just walk into the car, a lot of times they'll fly. They'll take off. They're afraid of what you might do. They don't feel comfortable with your presence or the presence of predators or loud noises or any kind of thing like that. In other words, when those birds feel threatened, there's a direction they go when they start to fly. They go up, don't they? You youngsters have seen birds take off. They don't go and crash into the ground. They go up. They go up above where you can reach. They go up above where the predators can get to. They go up above and try to find some kind of security and some kind of resting place they can set their feet upon. And as you and I today are living in a sin-cursed world, we're living in a world that's full of evil, it's full of violence, it's full of those unregenerate with bad intentions. Friend of God, there's a place for us to flee. If you watch the news, and if you let yourself get sucked into maybe either it's on a television screen, on the radio, on the XM, on your cell phone included, and you just go down the rabbit hole of news and news and news. Most of it's not news, by the way. Let me give you that right off the bat. Most of it's designed to scare you into a direction of the people it's peddling, whatever it is. Friend of God, there's not a lot for us to put our trust in. But we can put our trust in the Lord and flee as a bird to our mountains. That's a place where there is some security, not the vain security that men offer. They tried to put some security on pizza several years ago when they said 30 minutes or less. But friend of God, that almost never worked. It's not the security that man offers, but it's the security that is in Jesus Christ. He says in the book of, in the prophecy of Isaiah, go with me there, there's a few expressions found in the prophecy of Isaiah, and I'll go to Isaiah chapter 40, just the very end of that chapter. And I'll look at just a few examples of how you and I can flee as a bird. What does that mean? How can we do that still yet today in a world that's fraught with so much confusion? And let me go ahead and say this for good measure, just because it's on my mind. One of the tactics and tricks that the devil uses against the Lord's children, because it works, is to try to convince you that you're just too busy to worry about serving the Lord. My goodness, the old Baptists want to have a three-day meeting. Don't they know that commerce is going on all around us? Don't they know that that's when the PGA, that's when the NASCAR, that's when the NFL, that's when they do all of these things. Everybody's going to have their family reunion on Sunday mornings. My goodness, come on. Let's prioritize, right? He says in Isaiah chapter 40, let me begin reading in verse 26. He says, lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by the names of the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint and to them that have no might. He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This isn't talking about how we're going to frolic on the hills of glory land in heaven one day after a while. This is talking about some of the Lord's children that may be living and trying to dwell in a wicked and violent and cruel world that's no friend to the child of grace, but waiting upon the Lord, renewing our strength in Jesus Christ, friend of God. We can walk and not faint. We can go and not be weary. We can mount up on wings as eagles. Oh, dear friend of God, this afternoon, you know that the flesh gets tired. The flesh gets tired, but there's sometimes that I've been in service and I've been in meetings with the old Baptist just over and over. We sat by the hour to sing praises, songs and hymns of praise and adoration to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and hear somebody preach the gospel of our salvation. And it's in those times of renewing that we seem to be mounted up once again.
Yes.
On wings as eagles. In other words, we don't come like we go to some board meeting. Anybody ever go to meetings at your work? I'm going to tell you, they drain you more than a two-a-day football practice. I hate sitting around big tables and listening to 10 or 12 people that think they're brilliant. Just yak, 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 just hour on end. It doesn't profit me anything. I'm just sitting there wishing I was at a good old meeting somewhere. Friend of God, it says, they that wait upon the Lord, the young men shall faint. In other words, the vain things of this world, if you go chasing after before long, the flesh is going to begin to fail. It's going to begin to get weary, and there's not much out there that's going to satisfy the flesh, maybe for a fleeting moment of time. I've known folks that got their houseboat, and before long, boy, they was wanting something else. And then they was wanting something else. Then they got to have the tickets to Bristol. Then they got to have this. Then they got to have that. And never satisfied in anything they had. And before long, shipwreck came. Friend of God, it says, they that wait upon the Lord. You know, there's some strength involved in waiting, right? They that wait upon the Lord. When we come, and it seems like we're going through, it seems like we're having meeting, and the Lord is there with us, friend of God. We can wait upon the Lord for those blessings. We renew our strength. We mount up on wings as eagles. And it says, they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. There's a sense in which we walk and follow the Lord in this life. And I've heard it said this way over and over again, and I like to repeat it just because I think it's true. It fits my experience. I've heard preachers say, I've grown tired in the way, but I've never grown tired of the way. In other words, we can walk and faint not. We can continue pressing on. Or Brother Daniel, you know we've come through a pandemic. You know a lot of churches shut down. You know a lot of this happened. You know a lot of folks sort of fell off. You know there's been some inconsistency in attendance and meetings and frequency of meetings, association called off for 2 or 3 years and all kind of thing like that. Friend of God, that's no time to quit. But keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. I promise you, the world is never going to give you favorable conditions to serve the Lord. The devil's never going to offer up favorable conditions to serve the Lord. There's always going to be a stumbling block. There's always going to be a speed bump. There's always going to be something that the flesh will try to put in the way. But if we'll just continue steady on, we can run and not be weary. We can walk and not faint. We can mount up on wings as eagles in the service of the great King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We find other places in the Word of God. You'll go with me to the accounts of the Gospel in the New Testament now, to the Gospel according to Luke in chapter number 12. You'll find some birds in Luke chapter number 12, long about verse number 24. There's some birds mentioned there. We talked about manning up on wings as eagles and not fainting and not being weary in service to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is one way that we can flee as a bird to our mountain. In another occasion, we found the Lord speaking about the ravens in Luke chapter number 12. And he says, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? In other words, the question we're supposed to ponder when we consider the ravens themselves, They neither sow nor reap. They don't have storehouses or barns, and God feeds the ravens. If God has loved you from before the foundation of the world, if God made a covenant with His Son Jesus Christ that He should take upon Himself the body of flesh, made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, if your Savior in mind, Jesus Christ, was put behind bars to the Roman authorities, if your Savior in mind, Jesus Christ, was whipped with a cat of nine tails and bore His own cross up the place called the skull, of the place called Golgotha, and hung suspended between the heavens and the earth at a place called Calvary, where they gave Him vinegar upon a hyssop when He said, "I thirst," and He looked up to the heavens and He said, "Father, it is finished. Into Thy hands I commend my spirit." If your Father in heaven has provided the sacrifice of His only begotten Son for me and you, how much more then should we have confidence in our Lord when we consider that He feeds the ravens of the field, a friend of God, and how much He can take care of us still yet today? We ought to have confidence. When we consider the ravens, we ought to look at those ravens and say, "Well, my goodness, the Lord even provides and takes care of those birds, those fowl of the air. How much more is He able to protect and provide for you and us still yet today?" I know it's 2020. I know it's a current age. I know that there's evils going on. I know that there's problems in this society. But the same God that feeds the ravens themselves is the same God who loves us much more than He loves those fowl of the air. And He can take care of us even better than what the ravens have. I'm glad of that. I don't want to kind of fly around and kind of pick at some old rotten corn in the field of you. That's not, the Lord even feeds the raven. How much more is He able to take care of me and you? When we consider those things, flee as a bird to your mountain. We can flee to our mountain with the confidence that in that place the Lord has the ability still today to feed. And when we set our feet up under the Lord's table. Let me get this. When we set our feet up under the Lord's table, it's just kind of like old Mephibosheth was. Oh, back in Samuel's day, you remember that? Oh, when the old boy was crippled from his youth up. He couldn't walk. He couldn't crawl to the king's palace. He couldn't crawl to the king's mansion. He couldn't put himself up in that chair. But the king sent for him and went and got him when he was down in a place called Lodibar, a place of no pasture. And they brought him to the king's banqueting house and rolled him up under the table. When you and I are sitting at the banqueting table of the Lord, it's just like when Mephibosheth was sitting at the table of King David when he said, "Is there any of Jonathan's house that I can show kindness to for his sake? There's one little son down there, but he's a crippled boy. Never mind, we're going to go get him and bring him to the banqueting house." And when they rolled the boy up under the table and he bellied up there to a good meal, his infirmities were hid by the table. If you sat there at the table with that boy, you couldn't tell him the scripture. When we come to Mount Zion, when we come to the holy hill of Zion that the Lord has set His king upon her, when we flee as a bird to our mountain, and the Lord's blessing us to eat, the Lord's blessing us to drink, the Lord's blessing us to be fed by the Word of God, because He can feed us a lot better than ravens anyhow. Friend of God, in one sense our affirmities go to the wayside, and our affections are set on things which are above. And we don't look around across the pew saying, well, look at them over there. Well, look at him. Look at her. Look at this, that, the other. We don't focus on those things. But our affections are set on things which are above. Yes. Moth nor rust doth corrupt thieves. Neither thieves break through and steal. Friend of God, we ought to have the confidence, even more confidence in the ravens. Because the Lord's able to take care of us much better than those old fowl of the air. You go with me back to the gospel according to Matthew. There's an expression. Brother Jonathan, you heard this expression some years ago. I was ordained the second Saturday of November, 2006. It was Veterans Day. It was November 11th. And we had preachers come and folks come. And the brother that got down on his knees to deliver my ordination prayer. I don't know if you, Brother Verge, you remember old Elder Lynn Russell from West Tennessee. Preacher was blind. He'd been blind ever since I'd known him. His wife would drive him, you know, things like that. After she passed, he'd start taking the mega bus, and folks would meet him at the bus station and carry him to church meetings. We had Elder Lynn Russell offer the prayer at my ordination, and he repeated some of the words in this scripture. He gets down on his knees, and among many other wonderful comments, he said, "Lord, we pray that you bless our brother to be wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. Friend of God, if we're fleeing as a bird to our mountain, it ought not be occasion that the Lord's children try to tear up Jack in every community they're in, in every church they're in, in every family they're in. No. But friend of God, we ought to be harmless as doves. We ought to stop seeking to do harm to anybody. I don't wish anybody ill will. I don't, even folks that don't like us, don't agree with us and things like that, even folks that may have contempt for what we stand for. I don't wish a boulder fall on their house. Friend of God, even in a different way in the kingdom of God, when we're dealing with one another, when we're dealing with matters of discipline in the household of faith, when we're dealing with matters of instruction, when we're dealing with those things, we ought to seek to be harmless as doves. I told you I'd read that scripture. He says in verse 16 of Matthew 10, "Behold, I send you forth as a sheep in the midst of wolves." What do you feel like in this world? Do you feel like a pilgrim and a stranger here below? I do every day. The more I'm out in the world and away from Mount Zion, friend of God, the more I feel like that. A pilgrim and a stranger. He said, "I send you forth as sheep amid wolves." And in this world, friend of God, there's predators, and I want our young folks to understand. Young ladies, don't you get in the car with no boy that you don't know and that ain't had the guts to go talk to your parents. I'll amen that. It's okay. There's predators and there's people that out here that seek to do you harm.
Oh, yeah.
Friend of God, you and I ought not to be such as that. To be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. When we're fleeing as a bird to our mountain, we ought to try our best to be harmless. We ought to have that expectation that we're going to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Wise as a serpent and harmless as doves. I hope the Lord will protect you all along life's way. I wish I could tell you that there's no evils, there's no pitfalls, there's no snares, there's no troubles, there's no pain, and no nothing like that. But I can't tell you that in good honesty this afternoon. I can tell you that all that's out there in the world. Just think of those birds out in the field. There's a lot out there that would do them harm. But when they feel threatened, where do they go? They fly upward. Flee as a bird to your mouth. There's places that we can go and feel safe. There's places we can go and feel to be surrounded by the love of God. And be around folks that have known us from our youth up. Be around folks that love us and love the cause and love the Lord and seek to do us no harm. To be harmless as doves. There's good places to go in this world. I'm going to tell you, Bucky's isn't one of them. Oh, everybody wants to go to Bucky's. We stopped at one below Warner Robins a couple months ago. You talk about having to get in sideways and fiddle around, just trying to get in and out. I'm telling you, friend of God, that's a destination for a lot of folks. It wasn't my destination this morning. I was glad to drive on by. Because there's some place that's safer for me and my children. There's some place that's better for me and my family. It's in that mountain. It's in our mountain. Flee as a bird to your mountain. We find many occasions in the Word of God. I don't have time to get to all the examples here this evening, but let me just cover a couple things. You remember in the 8th chapter of the book of Genesis how it was when the rains come upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights to the point where there was flooding 15 cubits above the highest mountains in the world. You talk about a flood. I'm telling you, here's one that was a flood. It was a worldwide flood. You can go hiking in the Smoky Mountains and you can dig in the dirt and you can find shells. How does that happen? It don't, unless there was a flood at some point that covered it. Well, as the waters begin to recede, the sun come out again. Old Noah had him a dove in the ark. And he sent the dove out, thinking, well, if the dove finds a place to light, it means the waters have receded and we can go and get out of the ark. Well, the dove flew around and it come right back to where he was. Signifying to him that, well, the waters haven't receded enough for us to safely get out of the ark. And he waited 7 more days. And the book says in Genesis 8, he sent the dove out one more time. And this time when he sent the dove out, let me read verse number Let me read verse number 10 and 11 of Genesis 8. It says, "And he stayed yet 7 other days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked. So Noah knew the waters were abated from off the earth. Flee as a bird to your mountain." What did this bird do? This bird brought back an olive leaf unto Noah and the inhabitants of the ark, letting them know that it's safe. The waters have abated from off of the face of the earth. Friend of God, will you and I today flee as a bird to our mountain? I hope that when we come down, I hope we can have that same branch of olive in our mouth. I hope we can have those same. It proves that there's life. It proves that there's something out there that those floods and all the meanness of the flood and the judgment of the flood didn't cause. It proves that life is springing forth. It proves that the Lord is not finished. That plants are beginning to spring forth. Life's beginning to spring forth. And they're bringing that little leaf of olive back to Noah in the ark. Now let me try to put this together. In Romans chapter 11, you'll find an occasion where a wild branch of olive was taken and grafted in. Friend of God, the good news for you and I today is that branch of olive still there bearing fruit. That branch of olive had been grafted in. And the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, and the Church of the Living God still dwells among the Gentiles today. What is that? That's your mountain that you flee to. That's your mountain that we flee as a bird. We mount up on wings and we wait upon the Lord. We try to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We try to flee from the dangers and troubles of this life and fly unto Mount Zion and be there in a safe place where we can have security, where there's a hedge of protection. We're around folks that love us, but love the Lord above all. I can't say that about everywhere else. I can't say that about any place I've ever worked. Friend of God, it's dog eat dog out there in the world. But when we come to the household of faith, we're supposed to be harmless as doves. We're supposed to be flying upward. We're to find a place for our feet to land. He brought back that old twig of olive to Noah in the ark. That was a sign the waters had abated and that there's a safe. It's safe to get off the ark. Now, friend of God, you and I are part and parcel of this Gentile church, that branch of wild olive that had been grafted in. In Romans chapter number 11, and the good news is that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ still dwells in the earth, still yet today. It's in the world, but it's not of the world. And when you and I become encumbered with the affairs of this life, when we become compassed about with the snares of the wicked, and why is it that he said in Psalms chapter 11, to flee as a bird to your mountain? Why should we flee that direction? He said, the wicked have set their bow against you. They privily shoot at the upright in heart. In other words, there's folks out there that mean to do harm to the Lord's children. But we ought to try to flee. There's no landing place for us out there. Remember that bird that went out from the ark? When you're talking about this world out here, there's no safe place for us to land. There's no safe place for us to dwell. We don't believe in shacking up with all these secret orders in the world nowadays. We don't do that. Because we've got something better. Something that men didn't create. That's built upon the backs of men and upon the wisdom of men that will soon come to naught. But we have a safe place that the Lord hath established in the tops of the mountains for us still yet today. And we can flee as a bird to our mountain. We can be harmless. We can wait upon the Lord. We can be wise as serpents in that regard. And we can ever be on the lookout for troubles and dangers around, as the birds are when they come out in the field. And when troubles and dangers and problems come, let's flee as a bird to our mountain. Let's get to the holy hill of Zion. Let's be at home where the Spirit of God comes and meets with us from time to time and lifts us up above the trials and cares of this world. There's no better place in this world to be. And as a matter of fact, anywhere else in this world is created of men's hands. This is the only place that I know of that God Himself instituted, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and we can flee to her still yet today as a bird to our mountain. Lord bless you these songs.